Welcome back. This is Public Address Radio on Radio Live.
One of Chris Bell's secondary school reports read, "This boy shows no interest in music. He has since worked as a musician, a record company runner, and a song lyricist, and for the better part of a decade has been living and working in New Zealand. His hobbies include drinking single malt whiskey, tinkering with a bass guitar plugged into a digital delay, blogging, and not owning a mobile phone. He has given up ironing because nobody notices either way. But what you really ought to know about him is, these days he's a crazy writer who's giving away his work for nothing. This is a symptom of our time, and we thought we would get him in here to ask him why he's giving away his writing on the web for nothing." G'day, Chris.
How are you doing?
Tell me, well, why? Why are you doing it?
Well, there's a bit of history to it. I mean, I've had a website since about 1997 on CompuServe, starting out when I first got to New Zealand. In fact, it's almost exactly 10 years to the day since I got here. So I had a book and I had the files electronically, so it seemed to make sense to put them on a website as well as having them in print. But recently my site was in urgent need of an overhaul, so I redesigned the website with the help of some friends. Didn't cost me anything to do that. So I started thinking about all this stuff that I had that wasn't part of my original book, that wasn't novels, that wasn't business writing, which is what I do to earn a crust. And I thought, well, it's kind of crazy not to have this somewhere in a central repository. And I've always liked the idea of a body of work. You know, I'm a big Frank Zappa fan. And one of the things I like about Zappa and people like that is the emphasis on, you know, it's not about the little bitsy stuff that you do. It's about the whole thing. So I like the idea of people being able to get to it. And then I thought, well, maybe, you know, no one wants to read a whole short story online unless it's a very short story. So I thought if people could actually write to me, I'd have a contact to my public, my reading public, and they could request a PDF. I don't have a problem with sending people the stories for free. You see, the way this works is I've been submitting stories to small press magazines around the world probably since, I don't know, the early 90s. And, you know, you say selling stories, but actually the most I've ever made out of any of my stories is like quite recently $200 US to sell a story. And that was actually for the world, it turned out. I thought I was selling it to a UK magazine. Not only did they want to pay me $200 for world rights, they also wanted exclusivity for a year. Now, they're going to publish it in 2008. So that's basically 2 years that story can't be published anywhere else. They didn't, however, have a problem with it being on my website. So, you know, people can read it on the website in the meantime. And I'm frustrated about the fact that I can't sell it to an Australian magazine or a New Zealand magazine, for that matter, because this guy in the UK, who's actually, a reputable publisher, if that's not a contradiction in terms. Having the website is just my way of getting back at this kind of, what I see as an inability to cope with this whole disruptive technology.
Yeah, that's actually what occurred to me, is that you exercising your right to give away your work is in some sense an assertion of control.
Exactly.
Is that how you see it?
That's exactly what I feel about what Prince is doing with giving away his music. It's his music. He can do what the hell he likes with it. If he wants to give away a CD in a British tabloid, great, you know. And I think that's what separates. Publishers have a real problem with this. You know, we all do business writing, and we're sort of fighting over the difference between, in my case, maybe 45 cents a word and 60 cents a word with publishers. If you look at that $200 payment for that story, we're talking about, I think it's 4 cents a word for a 5,000 word story. So, you know, there's a big difference there between the genre stuff, which is what I really enjoy doing, and the business writing. But we're fighting about the same things. It's about your freedom to do what you want to do with your own.
Yeah, I guess the difference between you and Prince is he can make it up on selling out Wembley Arena 3 times.
Quite. Yeah,
what does the writer do?
There are a number of differences between me and Prince. what does the writer do? How can you, you know, I haven't got an e-commerce site. I can link through to my books on Amazon. People can buy the books from there. But, you know, bands have a much more direct way, I think, of, you know, harnessing their fan base. You know, my fan base is negligible. such as it is, I can do this through giving away stuff in the hope that that will make people want to own a book.
But that's predicated on the assumption, I take it, that people will go on printing books rather than and that people will go on reading them in that way rather than reading them online, because as you said, you don't think they'll read a whole short story online. Do you see it? Have you seen anything of any of the technology that makes you feel that it's ever going to be possible to move to a different medium and read in the way we've read a book?
No, but I don't really think that they need to be mutually exclusive. I think they can all serve one another, you know. Podcasts can serve book sales. There's a guy in the States doing this program, a podcast radio program called KCRW Bookworm. I've blogged about him before, and you know, he's great. He makes you want to go and order the book, and so those are the ways. I think it's nothing's black and white. You can't just simply say this is going to replace that. People who like books will always want to own.
And if I understand it correctly, there are more books being published at the moment than ever have been before. Is that right?
As far as I'm aware, and I think that's partly due to the whole print on demand phenomenon. You know, it's much easier now to simply produce your own book, you know, which is also a disruptive thing as well. You know, you cut out the editor, you cut out the whole distribution and marketing thing, which is the advantage of a traditional publisher.
And typically, what are the print on demand books being what price are they being sold at?
Well, you can sell them for not a great deal more than a discounted book from a major publisher. I'm selling mine on Amazon for $20. Of course, you know people have got to pay for the shipping as well, which bumps it up. But if you're ordering other stuff from Amazon anyway, that's not a huge factor, I don't think.
And your cut of the $20 is a lot better than from the traditional publishing model, isn't it?
And also for my novel, and well, for the short stories as well, I own all the rights. So, you know, I don't have to worry about, for example, with my novel, which I'm also offering through the website as an ebook, you know, through readingit.com, you can offer the book through different media. You know, I could podcast stories as well if I wanted to, without having to go and get the permission of a publisher who says they own the rights for perpetuity, you know, in the known universe and yet to be discovered planets. Mm-hmm. Which is, you know, a slight exaggeration, but not much.
Well, which sort of brings into play the idea of a direct relationship with the people who are interested and consume what you're doing, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Because your musical associations in the past include Underworld, who they've taken that sort of path as well. They communicate directly with fans.
They have. I mean, that band has gone through an incredible evolution from, you know, from Fruer, which had a hit with Doot Doot, to a, you know, electronica dance band, to you know, selling stuff through their own website, Underworld Live. They've got. You can go there, you can not only buy MP3s, but a whole gallery of art for each release that they do. Like, they're little mini albums, and, you know, they cost less than it would cost to buy an album on CD, probably about the same as what it would cost to buy something off the iTunes store. But you get a whole bunch of other stuff that you wouldn't get otherwise. And that's great because they have the fan base to do that. And I suppose as a writer, you know, going back to the question that I didn't answer, what you can do as a writer is you can only really hope to create the sort of fan base that is loyal to you because they have discovered your work and they believe in it.
I've always wondered why we haven't seen more of a move back to, say, the way a lot of Charles Dickens' work was originally written, which was serialized in weekly periodicals. It would seem that the internet's actually quite well suited to doing that, and you maintain this relationship and people are there every week. I mean, can you see that being a...
Yeah, I think that's a great idea. I tried to do that with a couple of my stories on the blog, and it sort of works. I mean, if nothing else, it's an incentive to writers to write more stories. And you can actually, if you commit yourself to doing it before you've finished a story, it's a great way of finishing something that you've been procrastinating over for the last 18 months or whatever, which is what I'd been doing with one story in particular. I split it up into four parts, and you know, by the time I'd got to the fourth week or whatever it was on NZBC, I'd finished the story and had a draft that I was reasonably happy with that then went through a few minor edits, and I was happy enough to submit it to magazines. I don't think we got huge readership on that, but you know, compared to other big blogs around, yeah, NZBC's got relatively small.
It's
traffic.
Quality though. Yeah, we should. Yeah, nzbc.net.nz, a group blog really worth visiting, listeners.
Along with Robert O'Neill and Stephen Stratford and Mark Broach.
Mark Broach, yeah, that's another thing that I contribute to, and that's all part of the same thing. It's that body of work thing again. You know, I link to the blog from my website, occasionally promote things on my website through the blog and vice versa. You know, it's a good way of doing that.
I actually wonder about both with Underworld and NZBC, you've touched on the same thing, that the collective is quite a nice way of generating more attention and collaborating. And I'm just wondering if that might be an answer for writers, that something that could hook into something like, say, Underworld, mm, possibly gets you an income as a share of something larger, so that you have a writing dimension to whatever you do. Do you see that taking shape in any sort of promising way?
Yeah, I think there's potential to do that. You've obviously got to find the right people to collaborate with, and people who are going to find the same sort of value from that relationship. You know, you like-minded writers. It could be tricky.
So it really is an enterprise that will forever depend on an element of altruism.
Absolutely, I think so, yeah.
Now, we said earlier on that we had a book to give away, and we're true to our word. Chris has given us a copy of his The Bumper Book of Lies, a collection of short stories. Very well worth the read. And if you are sitting in front of a computer, the first one of you to go to chrisbell.co.nz, send him an email, tell him you heard about this on Public Address Radio, the book is yours.
And after the break, we'll find out exactly what Archives New Zealand does.